Would you turn your Bible to Colossians 3 and let us have. Let's start. Mark Twain, some of you guys have read his books, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. A 19th century American writer said, find the job you enjoy doing and you will never have to work a day in your life. Isn't that true? I'm one of those blessed people who have two jobs, being a pastor, being an artist, and I love both jobs. At the end of the day, my eyes tired, I'm tired. And there are some days I like to wring somebody's neck. And sometimes I like to wring my own neck. But I still love my jobs. The recent global poll conducted by Gallup have uncovered out of the world 1 billion full-time workers, only 15% people like what they do at work. Only 15%. Can you believe it? It means that astronomical 85% of people are unhappy or hate their job. It is no wonder they said Monday morning blues, right? Here are the few reasons. Why is the statistics so high? Because it begs the question. There are actually a large number of reasons as to why employees might be feeling disengaged from their work or the employers. But I'm sure that a lot of them won't really come as much as a surprise. Here are some of the reasons. Number one reason. Guess what that is? The boss. This relationship has perhaps the most impact on how many people feel at work. If you don't get along with your boss, getting up and going to work in the morning become chore or burdensome. Understandable. Second reason, coworkers. If you don't like the people who you work with, likely you won't enjoy the time you spend at work. Third reason, type of work. Sometimes we find ourselves doing any old job just to pay the bills. Isn't that true? Just to pay the bills. And one of our congregation, he often used this phrase, any half-brain-dead monkey can do the job because his job is so boring. No challenge, nothing to look forward to. Commute. You cannot really say that in here. In Green Valley and Sarita area, you can pretty much get there within half an hour if you drive really 65 miles per hour on the highway. Probably somebody will honk at you. But in California, 2 hours commute is not unusual. On average, we spend around one-third of our lives at work in lifetime. And now add to the top of that the long and stressful commute, it can be one of the biggest reasons for people feeling unhappy in their job, even if they actually love their job. Spending 4 hours on the road because you drive, stop, a little bit, drive, stop. I cannot imagine what that like. Oh yeah, I've felt that a little bit when we were in Phoenix. And Karen and I thought, we are not coming back here. And then a couple months later, we go back there. Next reason, underappreciated and no place to advance. When you don't have any challenge at work, then it's pretty much you don't want to go to work. Understandable. You see, the Bible is not 4,000-year-old book. Bible is so practical. It fits for the 21st century. That it can teach us how we are supposed to handle ourselves at our workplace. Let's hear from the Lord. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Most of us have a job, and most of us are dealing with the bosses and coworkers and the type of works that we face. Father, teach us how to handle ourselves in those kinds of jobs and that kinds of environment. Father, as your children, we should be different than the unbelievers. Show us. Teach us. Open our heart to understand your ways. Give us wisdom. You put that wisdom in our heart and so that we may understand your will in your ways. And Father, we're asking your anointing upon the one who speaks, that he may speak your word, not his own. And Father, we pray for our country. Well, we are asking you, Father, you're willing this COVID-19 would be eradicated completely soon. And Father, we pray for the President Trump. A lot of people are against him. But we pray, according to your word, we are praying for him that he may do what is right in your sight. Not what he wants, what you want. And we pray for all the politicians, whether it's a federal, or state, or local. We pray that they may do what is right in your sight. And we pray for this election. Father, you're willing all the deception to be revealed before the election so that those who are deceiving others, they may lose their offices. Father, we pray for our armed and uniformed personnel, our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Especially we're lifting up two deputies from Los Angeles Sheriff Department who were shot for no reason other than just being a police officers. And we pray that they may be healed completely. And Father, we also pray that you comfort those who lost their lives, the families, members, and friends. There are many police officers being killed recently. Through this difficult time, they may come to know Christ if they don't know you. And they may find encouragement and hope and comfort from you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 22 in Colossians, please. Bond servants, or some of your the different versions says the slaves, they are all same. Or you can interchange with the employees. Employees. Obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleaser, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. Stop there, please. Okay. Employees should have a God-assigned role of obedience and submission to their employers or supervisors. God wants every Christian worker to see that ultimately they work for him. Are you with me? We work for God. And you may say, no, I work for this company. Well, hear me, please. Therefore, they should do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not to men. God promised the reward those who work with that kind of heart. When Christian worker does poorly in his job, he should not expect a special leniency from his boss. Especially if his boss is a Christian. Being a Christian employee should make us more responsible, not less. I don't know where you are with the situation. If you work for your boss and that boss is a born-again Christian, don't expect him to give you slack because you goof around. Number one, you should not goof around at your workplace. Put yourself in the owner's position. How would you like one of your employees doing social media in the middle of the workplace? Or do nothing, sleep around? You wouldn't like that, would you? Come on, answer me. Then why would you do that to your employer? Am I making sense? Here are the few things we should do and we should not do. Number one, work with all our might. Would you go to keep your finger there and go to Ecclesiastes right before Song of Solomon. See, the memorizing the Bible index comes in handy. Chapter 9, please, verse 9. It says, live joyfully with your wife whom you loved all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days and of vanity. For that is your portion of in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Wow, that's a depressing. But it is. You should do with all your might. This is one of my favorite Bible verses when it comes to employment, because the King Solomon says that whatever your job is, you are to do with all of our strength. Whatever God has placed us, wherever God has placed us, it is holy vocation. It's a God-given job. Are you with me? I don't know if you're a garbage collector. I don't know if you're a CEO. God gave you that job. It's not just job. We work for Him, not just for our employer. Ultimately, God will reward us, if not in this life, but surely in the life to come. Furthermore, that for those who hate your current job, realize that where you are is no accident. Since you work for God, so we should do our job with the very best that we can, because we are example to those who are outside of a household of faith. We can make a good impression for the Lord, or we can bring the shame to the cause of Christ. So we ought to obey in everything those who are our employers, not by the way of eye services, as the Word of God says, or the people pleaser, but the sincerity of heart and fearing the Lord. In other words, don't just start looking busy when the boss is watching, but even when he isn't, God is watching. Are you with me? Some of you guys remember Assistant Pastor Jack Laverty, grumpy old guy. Remember him? I call him grumpy old guy anyway. He used to work for the Tucson Medical Center, and he took care of all the laundries. There's one guy, he was a supervisor. This guy walked around with a rag in his hand. He's just wiping his hand as if he did work. He doesn't do any work, but he walks around with a rag in his hand, just wiping his hand. And he disappeared for a while and come back about 20, 30 minutes later. They couldn't fire him because he was part of the union. Second thing, working for the Lord. Back to the Colossians. Let's go back to the Colossians 3:24. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. The Lord is the one who will reward us at the end, not the employer. Yes, employer, I'm not saying the employees won't reward us for our hard work and the diligence, but that financial reward cannot be brought to the heaven with us. What God rewards us for is for all eternity and can be enjoyed in the kingdom of heaven. That is our inheritance, not what we gain while on earth. We do it for the Lord, not for man. Amen? This should be our frame of mind. No matter what kinds of job they have, someone once said, there is no job below our dignity as long as it is honest work. You hear me? As long as it's honest work, you do it well, there's no job that is below our dignity. If you're collecting garbage, I don't know if you are, I really don't know. Do it for the Lord. If God gets the glory, it's a God-appointed job to collect the garbage. Do you think the collecting garbage job is a bad job? and it's an unnecessary job. See how fast your house stink if there is no garbage collection. Within 2 weeks, your house smell like a cesspool. Honest goodness. There was an incident that, I believe it was a Texas, one of the town, city in Texas. City employees decided that they won't go on a strike, including garbage collectors. And they quit. First week, it was okay. Second week, third, fourth week. By the time second month came along, people were really complaining. Controller of the city government, he's a CPA, decided he's going to quit the job and start a new business. He bought a garbage collection truck and provided a new service. Guess what he's doing? Within 2 weeks, he had to buy another truck and another truck, another truck. All of a sudden, he's making money that nobody can compete with. If you think that your job is mundane and no challenge, whatever it is, do it wholeheartedly. Am I making sense to you? Before I was called to be a pastor by the Lord, I was a graphic designer for the Yellow Pages. Do you remember Yellow Pages? It used to be about that thick. That was before Google. And I used to be the one that designed the ad for the Yellow Pages. This company, known as U.S., it was Mountain Bell and became a U.S. West Track. There were their territory is a 13th state in western side, minus California. There were 300 graphic designers. When I got a job in 1990, I promised to the Lord I will be the best employee they can find, and I worked, and I became the lead graphic designer for them. For 13 years before I quit that job. Folks, whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. If you do it unto the Lord, your performance will outshine anybody. Then they will say, how come you are better than other people? You can simply say, I'm a Christian. And you earn the right to say that kind of thing. Am I making sense? We should not get into the get-rich-quick scheme. Proverbs 12, please. I know some of you are thinking, what's wrong with that? I'll explain. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He who tilled his land will be satisfied with the bread, but he who follows frivolity and is devoid of understanding. There is no shortcut to the hard work and having sustenance. Nothing can replace hard work. For those who follow the quick rich schemes, and these are the really worthless pursuit of that lacks integrity. Work has its own reward, and hard work always pays off. If not this life, then in life to come. There are so many welfare fraud who are really robbing those who work hard and pay taxes. These people lack bread because they lack the effort of working hard. And if you, I hope none of you do that, but if you fraud other people, don't think that you are not going to get caught. You will get caught. Last night, my wife and I were watching The Untouchables. And this is from 1950s. It's a black and white. Why do we watch then old movies? Because we don't want to watch new movies with all this vulgarity and profanity and nudity. So we watch that. And this is our second time we are watching it. And then you might ask, and you get tired of watching the same thing? No, it's because we live near Green Valley, we forget everything that what we watched before. It's new to us. And they were, of course, naturally they're gangsters and the mobs, bad guys. They're planning to this, doing bad things. And I said to Karen, you know, if those guys knew that they're going to get caught, none of them would do. That's a typical. If you think that you can get away with a fraud, think twice. You'll get caught. If you get, as a Christian, you get caught, you bring the disgrace to the name of God. Fourth things. The work is a divine institution. Now go to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. By the way, you got to watch some of the old movies. It's really cool. The acting is kind of corny. Like a Perry Mason, they yell at each other. And this untouchable, they shoot first. They don't even identify themselves as the police. I think we should bring that to the 21st century more. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of the Eden to what? Tend and keep it. In other words, the first occupation that humankind had was being a gardener. Here's another indication that it is God who placed us where we are. The Lord took Adam and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. Work is a divine institution because Adam was commanded to work, and this was before the fall had occurred. We see work, once again, holy vocation from God because he put us where we are. And to tell us to tend to keep it, tend it and keep it and wherever they might be. Work is not a curse from God, but a blessing. The curse of the hard toil of work only comes after the fall in the garden, not before. If you notice, in chapter 2, God told Adam and Eve, tend and keep it, right? But in chapter 3, after fall of man, he said, toil of your work. The word has been changed from tending to toil. Fifth thing, no work, no food. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Is that clear enough for you? For we hear that there are some who walk among you in the disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Paul had a problem with some people in the church of Thessalonica because they were expecting the rapture to happen. They were thinking, okay, the rapture is going to happen soon, so I might as well quit my job now and get whatever from the company and run up my credit card, and I'll just wait for him. Okay? Maybe 2 days, 3 days, and a week, 2 weeks, a month. They're getting hungry. They are starting to use all of their monies. And pretty soon, they became a beggar. They are asking other people to help them out. And they're still not getting a job. Folks, nothing wrong with waiting for the Lord. He told us we should be watching, waiting, and working and witnessing. Did you hear that? We should be waiting, watching, working, and witnessing to others. The problem is that many in the church, they had to stop working, and they became a leech, literally. And you may say, isn't that a harsh word? No, I'm not. I'm not using the harsh word. If someone knowingly, they have a capability to work and not work, they are becoming leech. And because they think that they can just do it, get away with it. It's a bad mentality. That's why the Bible says, if they don't work, don't let them eat. Paul heard that many were walking in idleness, not busy at work, but only being busybodies by doing gossips. Paul commanded that these people earn their own living and not leech after those who are still laboring. Go to Proverbs chapter 24, please. Proverbs 24. Verse 31. And there it was, all overgrown with the thorns, its surface was covered with the nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and you need your need like an armed man. King Solomon wrote, when King Solomon wrote this, he saw the field and vineyard that was overgrown with the thorns and the ground covered with weeds, and its stone walls fall broken down. It was the owner that sang the little sleep, little slumber, and little folding of the hand to rest, and the result in poverty. I'm not talking about the people who are not capable physically. I'm talking about people who are capable physically to work, but they are not working because they are lazy. If they are lazy, they should not complain about being poor. There are some people who are flat out lazy, and they rather come up with lame excuses why they cannot work than look for a job to make something out of themselves. They expect a handout from the kindness of people. As Christian, we shouldn't be that way. Now, so far we talked about being employees. How about being an employer? Go to chapter 4, verse 1 in the Colossians, please. Colossians 4, 1. Masters, you can exchange it with the new word, employers, supervisors, boss, whatever. Give your bondservant, your employees, what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. We all want the fair treatment, don't we? We want the fair treatment. If you are an employer, you need to, here's the three F's that are extremely important. Be fair, and be firm, and be friendly to your employees. Not the friendly first. Fairness comes before anything. If you do, your employees will need the labor union to fight for them. I don't care about the personality of the Richard Branson, the owner of a Virgin Atlantic airline, because he is rather flamboyant. And he's ostentatious, in my opinion. But I like his business principle. I'm sure you guys heard the word, phrase, the customer is always right. Have you ever heard that? He disagrees. I like what he says. Client do not come first. Employees come first. If you take care of your employees, they will take care of the clients. How true. Christian employers and supervisors need to remember that they have a master in heaven and they must answer to. Would they like God who treat them with the same measure of justice and fairness they have treated their workers with? There are two types of management, managers, I guess, in big, if you separate them. One is a micromanager. The other one is a macromanager. There's good and bad both. Macromanager, that means that person given authority and capability and responsibility to the employees, and he just cut them loose. I prefer that method. Good thing about that is an employee has a full authority to do the job, and they can do a great job. Bad things? That employee can hurt you badly because he has that authority. Micromanager. Micromanager is the one who stands behind, over the shoulder, watching everything what the employee is doing. The good thing about that is you know exactly what your employee is doing. But you don't use your employee's full capacity. Am I making sense? How many of you have a boss who is a micromanager? Used to have. Or I know one. Don't be like them, okay? Same thing with your children. Give them authority. Let them do the things if they're old enough. Cut them loose. Let them do the things so they can get the job done. Deuteronomy chapter 24, please. That's the fifth book of the Old Testament. Chapter 24, verse 14. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or the one of your aliens who is in your land within your gates. Whether your employer, boss, or supervisor, God warned us not to oppress those who work for us, especially the poor and needy. God tells us through James. This time go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers whom mowed your field, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of your reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. This aligned with the Deuteronomy 24:14, and should be taken seriously because the cries of your employees will reach the ears of the Lord, and he will not be happy if you exploit or take advantage of them. You ultimately will answer to God for that. It's nothing less of the robbing an employee if you do not pay them what is their due. Just and fair means paying employees what they agreed upon in timely manner, providing safe and pleasant environment. It is important for the employers to make that kind of environment. If you don't take care of your employees, you can kiss that company goodbye, because they won't run it down to the ground. Actually, you will run it down to the ground. I have two applications. Number one, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Yes, I quote the two verses. Second application, before displaying outward symbol of Christianity, listen carefully, please. Listen carefully. Whether you are an employee or employer, you must be certain that your lifestyle are not contradiction. Any attempt to bring Christianity into the workplace will backfire if your employee or coworkers see the hypocrisy in your personal life or in ethics. How important that is. I don't care how many stickers you have on your cube at work. All these Christian symbols, that's great. But if your life doesn't back it up, you bring the shame to Christ. Make sense? Let's stand up and pray.